This is Tim Shiel
on Double J.
Where did it start? How did you meet Flood? And for those who aren't familiar with the man Flood, can you give us a...
Flood has sort of probably produced some of your favourite records.
That's like, right.
He's been involved in pretty much every U2 record. Nine Inch Nails, PJ Harvey, Goldfrapp.
Yes.
A-ha, which was the first... He mixed an A-ha record, which was the first ever album that I worked on.
Wow.
Gosh, I mean, yes, pretty. I'll keep thinking of
Depeche
more.
Mode. He's an icon.
Yes,
Nick Cave. Some of the early Bad Seeds records.
Yes, a lot of Nick Cave records. Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah,
Melancholy, Infinite Sadness.
So, how do you meet Flood? Were you an aspiring, studio engineer at that point?
No, I was working as doing my year out placement in a little architecture firm in Dublin, and I was meeting like a lot of cool musicians, and I'd sort of happened to befriend Nick Seymour who plays bass in Crowded House. I mean, I'm going to be dropping a few clangers
Please
here, but
do.
I was very young and naive, and I didn't know how important these people were. So I was just like, "Oh, can I come?" So Nick Seymour was going to see a Nick Cave concert, and he was like, "Oh, okay, you can come along." And he had a box full of like loads of other people. Toni Collette was also standing in the box.
A box, like a corporate box for a Nick Cave show.
Well, it was at the Olympia, so it's more like like the royal box.
With Toni Collette and Nick Seymour.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And a few other people.
The Queen.
Yes, the Queen
was there.
But no, so Nick Cave was singing the Weeping Song, and I turned to this man to my right, and I said, "Oh, it's so funny that he's singing about breakfast cereal," because I thought he was singing "This is the Weet-Bix song." And this guy just looked at me going, "What are you talking about?" And we've been friends ever since. As we kind of got to know each other throughout the year that I was there, and I was sort of going to watch a lot more live music that I hadn't sort of done while I was living in Melbourne, and being exposed to that kind of creativity and this sort of excitement around music that was going on at the time there, little by little, I started to understand what he did, and I was like, "Oh, maybe I could be like Britney Spears." And he's like, "Well, can you sing?" And I'm like, "No." So he said, "Well, if you do want to get involved in the music industry, go back, finish your degree, and let's chat in a few years." But he was very encouraging as I came back. He said, "Go and join a few bands, go and write some music,
right. See
what you want to do within the music industry, because if you want to be a producer, it's a pretty massive sacrifice, and you need to leave your ego at the door. So if you want to be a performer, maybe my career isn't the thing." But yeah, 3 or 4 years later, he said, "All right, are you ready?" I'm like, "I'm ready." And he had a job, which was basically making tea
right. For
him in his studio in London. I didn't know this at the time, by the way. I thought I'd just like waltz off the plane and start producing an A-ha record with him.
Bono's going to be in the room.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
going to
yeah.
be there recording his vocals.
Yeah, me, Flood, Bono. Yep,
okay, yeah.
Yep.
You're just going to make a couple of cup of teas first.
Yes, yes.
But you have ended up working on a ton of records, though. Eventually you stopped making... And now people make teas for you, I'm guessing.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Only I drink black coffee now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I want to talk about some of the artists that you've had the opportunity to work with in the last 10 years or so, because you've got a pretty impressive CV. But before we do that, well, let's start with Foals, because I know that you worked on this record.
Just dancing.
It still makes you dance.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. So this is Bad Habit from Foals. 2012 record.
Holy Fire, yeah.
Yeah. So you were working alongside Flood on this record?
Flood and Alan Mulder.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, who I also worked with independently. So I was engineering, and Flood and Alan are both incredible engineers, and I was expecting them to get someone way more qualified than me to do it. But I'd worked with them both, and I'd also worked on Total Life Forever, which was the Foals' previous record when Alan Mulder mixed it. And so I'd sort of built up a relationship with them, and I was like, pick me. And they're like, okay. And they, the boys in the band were really up for it, and the first 2 weeks was pretty scary because it was probably the biggest record that I'd ever engineered.
Right.
And the band are very talented, and I and so are Flood and Alan, and I just wanted to, kind of prove that I could do it to myself and to them, and After about 2 weeks, I just sort of took over, told everyone else what to do.
So you worked alongside Flood, was it? On
yes.
A couple of PJ Harvey records.
Yeah, White Chalk and Let England Shake.
Yeah. So what's PJ Harvey like to work with? Is she as intense as her music is?
She's someone actually who I became more starstruck with her after the album was finished, just because her talent is so incredible,
right.
And her brain is, she thinks about things sort of in such a unique way, which I guess that really comes through in her music. I mean, for White Chalk, she taught herself how to play the piano, so she's not writing the music with the, say, in the same way that someone who had the knowledge of, you know, how chord progressions work or whatever would do. So the structures of the songs are kind of, or the chord progressions are really interesting, which then lend itself to like really interesting vocal melodies. But everything's so kind of emotional and creates this amazing imagery, which again all just comes from her brain. And she can play so many instruments and hears the one in a different place to everyone else, which
right.
again makes the kind of rhythms feel really unique. And but you just listen to it, you don't notice any of those things. You just hear it as kind of an amazing piece of music. So, yeah, by the end of White Chalk, I was quite starstruck. You know, at the start, I'm like, I've worked with Boy George, whatevs. but she then, yeah, just kind of in awe of her by the end of that record.
I've often heard PJ Harvey described as the Boy George of of English music.
Was the only other person I could think of at that moment.
You dropped all your names at the beginning of the interview.
I know,
Toni Collette
and
Nick Seymour. Let's talk just about St. Vincent. Annie Clark,
yeah.
Obviously super talented.
Awesome to work with.
How did this come about, working on Mass Seduction, the record? Because you're on a few of the songs.
Yeah.
Mixing?
Yes, mixing. I was in LA just for 4th of July and to go and hang. And I have a great relationship with Annie's record label over there, Loma Vista. And because I'd previously worked on another album of theirs, a band, Manchester Orchestra. And she had been working with Tom Elmhurst, who's also an amazing mixer, and I think they had to sort of put it on hold for, he had to go to another project or whatever, and they said, do you want to have a go? And I'm like, of course I want to have a go, but thinking it would just be one song.
Right.
And then she was like, do you want to mix the rest of the record? But I think Jack Antonoff, who produced the record, I mean, it's a fluid process, and I never get offended by who gets what on, you know, I'm just happy to help and have the opportunity to work with some of these amazing people. But, yeah, no, she's very clear. I mean, this song, Fear the Future, I was like, I want it to make it sound like indie Kylie meets, like, the rave scene at the end of The Matrix.
Amazing.
And she was like, love it.
Music makes you. The journey that they take you on is so transformative. You're totally awakening, you know, experiencing the physicality of live music, how you feel it, you see it happening, and then you're involved.
Double J.